You would do better to spend a little time with the faithful in the service of God and in worship in the church. Although there'll be a few rascals around, don't quit. Don't turn away from the church in Jesus Christ and then have to spend eternity in the presence of a whole neighborhood of rascals.
We'd like to say thanks for joining us for the weekly Beechwood Christian Church podcast with Senior Minister Mark Black.
Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. The scripture reads, "After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him.
And all God's people say,
amen.
Amen. I remember that that story because when I was a little kid, we used to sing that song, right? "I will make you fishers of men." And we sang it so many times, and it was always a dear story in my heart. A number of years ago, after Carol and I had been married, and we were getting to know each other, you know how that is, right? And you know, you try to find out about the person. Well, I found out that Carol just absolutely loved, as a child, to ride horses. Now, I wasn't really enthused about that, people, okay? Because when I was in nursery school, they didn't have preschool, they had nursery school, I fell off a pony, okay? And when I got up from the pony, it tried to bite me. And I thought, those little creatures are really mean little things, you know? I wasn't enthused about them, but she convinced me that if we were to go on a trail ride, that this would be fine. In fact, that's kind of like the horse she picked out for me, okay? She said, "Mark, this horse will be very, very gentle, and it's kind of like cruise control. You just get on, and they follow each other, and you go down the trail." Well, we headed off, and we found a place where there were trail horses. And one of the first things they do is they take the horse and they lead them to water. And this one horse I was watching, and they led the horse to water, and it turned around and tramped on the foot of the guy that was leading it. And he took a hat and he went whack. Well, then they gave it water and it turned around and bit him. And he hit the horse again. And as we were getting ready to get on the horses, the guy said, "This is your horse." I said, you don't understand. I don't know that much about horses. I don't know how to ride this horse very well." "Oh, that's all right. This horse is used to the trail. You know, it's okay." So I thought, well, I mounted on the horse. And I got on, started off. And all of a sudden, we're going in line, and all of a sudden, my horse decides it's going to pass all the other horses and get in the front. I'm going, "Stop. Whoa, hey, hold it. And it goes all the way to the front, and the guy says, "Oh, that horse is used to being a lead horse. It used to be a lead horse. Just make it go to the back." And I said, I don't know how to make it go to the back. "Well, just pull like this, and it'll go to the back." And so I tried. And we rounded the corner, and my horse saw the barn. And you got it. My horse went to the barn. And everybody else is going this way. And I'm going, "Whoa, stop it. Well, needless to say, my writing journey was over. I tried a few times after that to learn how to ride a horse, and I've never been very good at it, and really didn't really want to ride the horse. I figured, let it alone. And I realized I was never meant to ride horses, but I learned a lot about being a follower. That horse needed to be a follower. And we need followers, don't we? In fact, my number one point is that a Christian is a follower. Now, many of you know that we are studying a book that has been written by Bob Tinsky, and I'm preaching from this book. So much of the material that I get is some of his and some of mine. So I don't want to say that all this material came up in my mind, because my mind's not that brilliant. Okay, so I need to clarify that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer a second and ask God's blessings. Father God, we praise you and I thank you for your presence here. Now, Lord, open up our hearts for your word. Lord, we know we are here because of your word. We are here to learn and to worship and to express our love to you. And so, God, may we do that now. Equip us, strengthen us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we spend a lot of time with our children trying to get them to be leaders. And sometimes we don't want them to be followers, we want them to be leaders, right? But sometimes we forget the principle that in order to be a leader, you first have to be a follower. But you got to watch who you're following, don't you? And I think sometimes I've expected a lot out of our kids when they were young, and I didn't realize that they should still be following Jesus Christ and learning and gaining strength. When you follow the right authority, you become a leader. Plain and simple. When you follow Christ properly, and you learn from him, and you submit to him, you become a leader. When someone follows Jesus, they will eventually become a leader. But that takes a strong character, doesn't it? Take strong character to follow authority and to submit to authority and to keep going. Because you know what? You start following and you want to give up. Right? You want to disobey. You want to run away. You want to take control. Sometimes you want to hide. Sometimes you don't want the responsibility. You know, secondly, it takes sacrifice to be a follower of Jesus. Do we really realize that? That it takes sacrifice to be a follower of Jesus? In Luke 5, 4 through 11, listen to what the Lord had to say. When he had finished, and this is another story on what Amy had read in Mark. It says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep, and let down the nets for a catch. Well, they had already been fishing. They were cleaning their nets and getting them ready. And Simon answered and said, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet or knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Let me tell you something, people. They had the biggest catch of their life. Two boats full of fish that were ready to just sink. They had gold in those nets. Money. I mean, that was a good catch. And they left the nets, and they left their business, and they left their father to catch men and to be fishers of men and to follow Jesus. Now that took a lot of sacrifice. It took a lot. And sometimes it takes a lot to follow Jesus. You may be ridiculed by the world. You may be made fun of at work. You may have other people tell you how silly it is, that Christianity is something that is outdated. But you know, we continue on. There was one man that didn't understand what it meant to follow Jesus. And when we look at Luke 9, 57 and 58, it says, as they were walking along the road, a man came to him. I will follow you wherever you go. Now, isn't it interesting that he said that? But Jesus knows the heart, doesn't he? He knows what we need. He knows that we need to learn some more. And he turns to this man, and Jesus replied, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. What was Jesus telling him? He was telling them that there's a cost. Have you thought of that? Have you thought of the cost of following Jesus? That you may not have a home. You may not have this, you may not have that, but there is a cost. Listen to what Paul said to the early Christians in Acts 14, 21 and 22. He said, they preached the good news in that city, and they won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. Listen to what they said. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. They said that following Jesus would not be easy, that there would be hardships that they may come upon. Now, we don't truly understand that because we've lived in a society that's been so easy to be Christians, but that society is changing, people. It really is. It's changing. Well, I want to encourage you today, and that's my third point. Don't give up. Don't give up. You know, the Bible is filled with all kinds of illustrations for us. John Mark, a young man, apparently gave up on the first missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas. Some believe that Mark was upset that Paul had become the leader instead of Barnabas. We don't know what that disagreement was about, but we know that somehow Mark gave up and left. But you know what? In 2 Timothy 4 and 11, we find out that somehow Mark realized the mistake he had made, and he went back and he followed Jesus. And the Bible says there that he had become very useful to Paul because Paul made that statement. So just because you might have thought, well, I'm going to give up, God has his arms open wide to you to say, come back. We love you. Well, there's another man by the name of Demas. And he started out good, but he didn't finish very well. You see, in Colossians 14, 4:14, we find this greeting. It says, our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas sends greetings. So Demas had been with Paul, and they had become friends, and they had gone and worked together. In Philemon 24, it says, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. Demas is mentioned. But listen later on when Paul writes something in his last letter, 2 Timothy 4:9-10. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. How sad to start so well and finish so poorly. Brothers and sisters, don't give up. Will you say that? Don't give up. Keep on keeping on. Don't give up. Well, you know, legend has it that Demas never returned to the Lord. Legend has it that he ended his life as a priest in a pagan temple. How sad. Now, some of you may know this man when I mention P.H. Welshemer. How many of you have heard that name before? P.H. Welshemer. Okay. Well, let me tell you a little about him. He was a preacher at First Christian Church in Canton. He was a preacher from 1902 until he died in 1957. 55 years there. And with his guidance, that church became one of the largest churches in America. Well, he made a quote, and listen to what he had to say. He said, remember, good people, this will all end someday. You are going to die. There'll be a time when the shades will be drawn in your room and the people will tread very softly. There will be the scent of roses. The undertaker will drive up with his funeral car. The preacher will be called upon to console your family. The judgment will be awaiting for you. And you will have to give an account of the deeds done in the body. Simply to stand before the judge and to say, there was a hypocrite down on earth and a dishonest man who cheated me. He belonged to the same church I did, and I couldn't stand him, therefore I quit. That will be of no avail. You would do better to spend a little time with the faithful in the service of God and in worship in the church. Although there'll be a few rascals around, don't quit. Don't turn away from the church in Jesus Christ and then have to spend eternity in the presence of a whole neighborhood of rascals. How true it is. Brothers and sisters, a Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. We submit to his authority. It does take sacrifice. And thirdly, don't quit. Keep on keeping on. Foster Lewis said this, it does not take a great person to follow Jesus, but it takes all there is of him, whoever he is. God wants all of us. All of us. Revelation 2:10 is a scripture that just gives me hope. And it says this, do not be afraid about what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you. And you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. People, I'm afraid that in our world, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And we need to be ready. We need to have our lives following Jesus Christ. And when someone behind us stumbles, we need to help them. Pick them up. Love them. And walk on through. Amen. Don't quit. Don't give up. God loves you so much. He wishes that none should perish.
Beechwood Christian Church is located at 12950 Easton Street Northeast in Alliance, Ohio. You can find more information about our church on the website at www.beechwoodchristian.org. That's www.beechwood, like the tree, Christian, that's all one word, .org, where you can also subscribe to our podcast and learn how our humble congregation is serving the Lord in Northeast Ohio. If you would like a copy of this message or the whole series on CD, you can find the instructions on the website or email us at sermon@beechwoodchristian.org. Again, we thank you for listening and pray God's blessing on you and your family.